Hi there, my name is Teresa Anderson and I'm your spiritual guide, and I want to let you know that there are two styles of podcast episodes that I offer. Each has a different take on themes and topics. In the podcast episodes of guided meditations and visualizations, you will be immersed in two multi-sensory explorations into unique topics and themes. In the second podcast style called Deeper Discussions, you, the listener, will have the opportunity for deeper self-inquiry and exploration of specific themes and topics. Today, I will be presenting a deeper discussion style podcast episode that is from an excerpt of an introduction to dream work, a workshop that I taught this year. I hope this helps you to begin thinking and working with your dreams. Have you ever had a dream and wondered what it meant? Perhaps you've already done some dream work on your own or with a therapist or in a dream group. Or maybe you've researched or read some books about dream work. I'm so excited to share some of my rich dream work knowledge and experience with you.
I really wanted to learn from someone, and I wanted to learn from someone knowledgeable. So I came across a few key instructors or teachers, and one of them was Jeremy Taylor, who I met and went to study with in California, and he lived in San Francisco. And what I really appreciated and loved about Jeremy Taylor is he was the most generous teacher, and what he taught about dream work, he really wanted other people to know about. And he said, if you ever use anything from or about my work, just give some acknowledgement that you got it from me, but please spread it so other people can benefit. So I feel really grateful for him for all kinds of reasons. And he's brought a real richness to my life because of dream work. I also studied with Peter Osso Grosso, and he taught about archetypal dream work specifically. And I also studied with Robert Moss, and Robert Moss is a totally different dream work teacher. And he is a guy who created a series of historical novels, and then he developed the practice he calls active dreaming. And that's where he kind of had this thing that he created, like a synthesis of contemporary dream work. And then his approach was, he used different methods, and it was about journeying with dreams. So Robert was about, for example, when I went to one of his week-long intensives, he was teaching about, okay, you've had a dream, and you kind of woke up, but you were wondering, I wonder what really could have happened had I not woken up with that dream. So he was all about re-entering a dream, teaching people how to actively dream and go back and have a finish or conclusion to the dream. And so he is really kind of seen more as a shamanic kind of dream teacher. And I really kind of keep going back to Jeremy's way of dealing with dreams and working them through, because it just makes a lot of sense, and I can see the benefits, and I'd like to share some of that with you. A little bit more about Jeremy is when he came up with what we're going to go into next, the 10 basic assumptions about dream work. He, in his over 40 years of doing dream work with groups of people and individuals, and he from all walks of life, he even worked for years in a penitentiary with prisoners. And he ended up writing all these different books, which are wonderful, and he also ended up with 150,000 dream interpretations behind his belt. So what we're going to witness here is kind of what he distilled into 10 points. So the 10 basic assumptions are that all dreams come in the service of health and wellness. And this is really interesting to me, because I'm going to start off by sharing about nightmares. So even nightmares are an interesting thing to talk about and to kind of dispel some of the myths. So if all dreams come in service of health and wellness, nightmares are also important. In other words, there's no such thing as a bad dream. According to Jeremy, the primary reason for the existence of nightmares is basically when you have a nightmare, I don't know what it's like for you, but if I have a nightmare, I wake up, my heart might be beating, or I'm like, oh wow, that was really super scary. But the whole thing about a nightmare is it's the pieces that have been suppressed are trying to get your attention, and it's like, pay attention. I want you to really be aware of something is going on with you. So it's as though every nightmare says to the dreamer upon awakening, pay attention to your feelings and your emotions, for all dreams bring us creative energies and insights into the meaning of confusing emotions. So there's something valuable about nightmares, and I have a 80 plus year old mother, so when I started to explain about nightmares, because she was having some, and instead of what she was making a nightmare mean and thinking about in general about nightmares, she was able to switch it up and to start gleaning some good information for herself about her dreams. The second one is that no dream comes just to tell the dreamer what he or she already knows. I love this too, because over the years, so I've been doing dream work, right, for 13 years, and I keep a dream journal, as well as I have drawn my dreams out in a sketchbook, some of them. And I can get beautiful, great information when I work a dream in current time. And then if I go back a year or even 5 years, it's amazing the new layers within the dream. And some of the dreams that I've gone back to have almost been predictive. Like at the time, I might have been dreaming about some numbers in a dream, and I'm like, I don't know what 129 means. And then when I look back, I can see that maybe it's got something to do with something that's happened a year later in my future, like my new address of my beach house or whatever. So you can have the meanings that you get at the time, and then you can go back and see what else has kind of developed. And if there's patterns as well, what I've noticed for myself, and maybe if you've done dream work, you've maybe started to see some patterns of dreaming some certain themes or having reoccurring dreams can also happen when you start tracking your dreams. And all dreams marry new information and energy in their metaphors and symbols. And we're going to get into symbols and metaphors shortly. The only apparent exception, according to Jeremy, to this truth comes in those instances where you already know something and you're kind of ignoring it. So your dream happens and it's kind of like you're missing something, you haven't done something. So you already have an awareness and a knowledge of something intellectually, but the deeper truth you haven't really addressed yet, and you haven't really acted and followed through on something, perhaps. Number three, only the dreamer can say with any certainty what meanings his or her dream may hold. And I love this. The premise here too is if we're in a dream group, and we'll talk about kind of the dynamics and the protocol for doing that. So if you're in a dream group and I am offering from my perspective what I would say something like, if it were my dream, this is what is coming up for me in my dream, my version of the dream. You can say either of those. And if you're doing it in your offering, there's never any point in arguing with the dreamer, trying to, like, seriously, this is what your dream is about. No, it has to resonate with that person. And what the dreamer is able to consciously have an aha about is what they're ready for. So you might have an idea of what you think their dream is about, but unless it resonates with the dreamer, it's your own projection. And so that's an important piece to really kind of hold on to. Number four, the dreamer's aha of recognition is a function of previously unconscious memory and is the only reliable touchdown. It's really important that the dreamer is in charge of their own ahas around a dream. What happens for me when I understand something that was suppressed, then I have like a light bulb aha moment. And that's how a dreamer knows, like you're having some new level of awareness where you're getting something fresh for the first time, and it's kind of like ka-ching. So in the old days, when they used to have the cash register, you go to Safeway and it would open up and go ka-ching. That's that kind of feeling of, it's almost like, for some people, they might have like goosies where on that recognition of, ooh, I just got a chill. And so it's up to the dreamer if they have an aha. And then if they do have an aha, it's a function of memory with that light bulb moment. With number five, there is no such thing as a dream with only one meaning. And we kind of alluded to that a bit with what I was saying with my examples. And the crucial confirmation of the dreamer's own aha is particularly important to bear in mind, because all dreams do have multiple meanings. And that's what's so great about a dream group. So you might have your own interpretation. And when you have a dream, you never take it literally, because your dream is coming to let you know about something new that you don't know about yet. So you might have that first blush of, oh, I think I know what this dream is about, but there's all these layers that are underneath. And so Jerry Ruhle, who's a therapist, has given his own definition about what is a dream. So a dream is one of nature's creations. It's a spontaneous, undisguised expression of life force that flows in and out and through us. And it's at this intersection of kind of like the daylight waking world and then what lies beneath. And it calls attention to what is in our unlived life and which is still kind of urgent and trying to bubble up. And why would we want to pay attention to dreams? Well, they are enormously helpful for loosening up all kinds of knots in our lives. They provide a bountiful source of creativity, renewal, strength, and wisdom. And they are a direct portal to what is right for consciousness. And I would agree with all of that from my own experience with dream work. Okay, so the 10 basic assumptions, number 6. All dreams speak a universal language of metaphor and symbol. And I want you to be excited about looking around everyday life and starting to notice symbols that you might be coming into contact with in your life. With all of these symbols, basically, what are the meanings that you start to associate? And what I've learned is a language of metaphor and symbols, which has taken me years, I must admit to that. But when I first started out, it was like Klingon. I couldn't really understand. I thought, oh, this is so hard. And what I could tell you to excite you about it is to work with metaphors and symbols like they're toffee and that they're dynamic and that they're animated and they're alive and that they're rich with meaning and they're never static. They keep building on meaning. It's like we might each think of, you know, a symbol for McDonald's and might have our own meaning and context, for example, with the symbol or with a key, because there's a key on here too. So with symbols and metaphors, the thing is to really start to notice them and to experiment with them and see what meaning that you're able to come up with. So everything in a dream, you could consider all of the pieces if you were to write down people, places, and things in the dream and start to work with them as well as symbols and metaphors and just start to see what comes out of all of that. The key here for symbols and dreams is to really know that dreams speak in the language of symbols, as I was saying. And you must learn, as I was mentioning, to translate dream language. That doesn't mean you go out and just buy a dream dictionary. It's how you interact with them. The other thing that cracks me up about dreams when I'm interpreting them is that the universe, or whatever that is on the other side, when you start to work with dreams and they're like, hot dog, we got a live one. When you start playing with them and working with them, they send you more dreams. It's like you get rewarded somehow. And they work with puns. So my favorite thing is, okay, if someone's doing a dream and then I'm offering my, if it were my dream and how I'm interpreting it, I often see the puns and the playfulness that comes through in dreams. And for example, one of the words is emergency. And I can see emerge and see as well as the word emergency. And depending on what's going on in the dreamer's life, there's a pun there. And the other pun that I was thinking about is the one with contain her, like a container. So contain her, so depending on what's going on in the dream. So it's not just one level of meaning, but you can really kind of go, ooh, that's a little tricksy, that's a little fun. So I wanted to share that with you. So a dream symbol arrives in picture language. If there was a snake in my dream, and depending what else was going on in my dream, okay, well, what do I make a snake mean? Well, a snake can be poisonous or it can be not poisonous. Is it trying to bite me or is it trying to run away from me? Is it a big snake? Is it trying to constrict? And snakes can shed their skin. So if I'm everything in the dream, then the snake is a part of representing me in the dream. So what's going on in my dream and what is the snake doing and how can I relate that to my dream? And like here is the wizard. And so if a wizard was in my dream, I'd be, depending on what's going on, I could think, okay, am I putting a spell on something or is there a spell on me or am I trying to create something or some kind of magic? And for example, with a ladder, if that was in my dream, depending what else was going on, I mean, sometimes you take one step at a time to get to a higher altitude, to get a different higher perspective, for example. And then there's the unicorn. And just briefly, like, what would a unicorn mean to me? Well, I love unicorns, so I actually have unicorns that show up quite a bit in my dreams. So that's always a symbol that talks to me if I'm on the right track. And like with the unicorn's kind of pointy part, is like, keep going at what you're doing. The stained glass is another one that's interesting. So a pun is like, there's a pane of glass. So it could be like literally a pane of glass on the one level, but it could be a pain is going on some level within or around me. And it also could be, it's hard to look through the stain. I can't really get a clear vision of what's trying to inform me with the light coming through that's trying to make it the way through. With the Mr. Owl, I think if that was in my dream, for example, it's the wisdom, like the totem around the wisdom of the owl. And what is it that I have the ability to see even at night? Even in the darkness, what is it about the owl that is in my dream and trying to help to inform me?
You've learned some new things about symbols and hints around dream work, and now you can experiment with your own dreams if you would like. And now I would like to thank you so very much for spending some of your time with me, and I trust that you will have some new insights and information around dream work. And until next time, I wish you well.